Right now, will services like RDO and Rhapsody be the answer to our streaming music prayers? Or will they be as useful as a piranha with a vuvuzela? This is episode 20 of the Nashville Tech Feed.
To the Batmobile.
Just like a crazy person.
Are you pondering what I'm pondering?
You're excited. You're feeling nimble.
You have some mighty interesting people online.
Welcome back to the Nashville Tech Feed. This is episode number 20. I'm David Baranji, one of your hosts for this evening or today or whenever you are listening to that, because that's what's awesome about a podcast. This is a podcast about music, technology, culture with a Nashville perspective. And the first person that has Nashville perspective with me is Lucas Hendrickson.
I have Nashville perspective? Oh, yeah. I've been here for 20 years. Of course I do.
Are you considered Do you consider yourself a native?
This is the longest I've been in one place in my entire life. So, yeah, I think, not so much native, but certainly this is home.
Well, we're glad to have you here.
Why, thank you. Happy to be here. And, you know, happy to be here on the estimable 20th episode of the Nashville Tech Feed, the tech feed that's just almost old enough to drink. Legally, that is.
Well, in this day and age, if it was like, 30 years ago, we could have gone about episode last one.
But, 18, probably, in some states.
We could have done 18. I just want to do a program note for everybody still listening. It's been a couple, like, over 2 weeks since we did our last episode. I think during the summer, we're just going to try to do it twice a month. It's so much is going on outside. You just don't want to be stuck inside and coordinating stuff such as that. So just remember, anybody out there, you can still leave voicemails and emails. And what's the voicemail, Lucas?
Wow, it's been so long. I've forgotten what the number is.
You know what?
I know there's a zero and a five in there somewhere.
615. I don't know. it's around here somewhere. We'll say it later in the show because I have to be able to play my phone's ringing stuff, you know, because it's just like we have calls waiting. But before we get into the rest of the show, I want to introduce a new guest co-host to the Nashville Tech Feed. I guess we could call a guest, Steve Cunningham. He is a independent musician and music geek and probably one of our good friends in town. One of the few people that would admit we're good friends. Kidding. Steve, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Dave?
Doing good. Thanks for joining us on the show. We have these music conversations every Friday at our happy hour, and we never really get to put it down to bits for the rest of the public.
Well, and the happy hour that has now been immortalized in ink and pulped wood as well.
How's that, Lucas?
If you look back to this past Saturday's edition of the Tennessean, and our friend Steve on the cover of said publication with some random collar.
Yeah, Steve, how'd you get on the cover of the Tennessean, by the way? How'd you work that?
I didn't think it was going to be on the cover. Our friend Kristen, just looking for people to tell stories about, you know, meeting people in Nashville through the internet and all that. And I've been here for 2 years and didn't really know a single person when I came here. So everybody I know is in some way, you know, connected to something online. Even the people I met in real life, you know, I'd met through friends I'd met online or whatever. You know, so the reporter called me and we talked for like 10 or 15 minutes. And then she's like, can we send a guy to your house to picture them? A, I'm busy. And B, I'm like, why don't you just go to the bar where we're all going to be drinking? We'll be way much more likely to have good pictures if we're drinking. So that's how that happened. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, it'll be in like the Sunday lifestyle section, you know, right next to, you know, an ad for Kohl's. not realizing that it's the slowest news day in history and it's not football season, so it's absolutely nothing to put in a Saturday paper.
I find it fascinating that our one voicemail caller happens to be also in that picture.
Yeah, that's true.
Steve, I just realized something. They threw us out with the trash.
They did turn. I know. I was waiting for that. We were the end result of Take Out the Trash Day.
Exactly. Yes.
Well.
Oh, well.
We will not be talking about that tonight because that's for another conversation.
For the Nashville West Wing feed when we finally get around to doing that.
The
Nashville
feed.
Sorkin feed.
We'll bust out the Nashville culture feed or something. I don't know.
You can do a whole podcast on the Philly Facebook movie when that comes out.
That's true. That will tie in.
Yeah, we could. I find it funny that they put on the poster. It said you can't have 500 million friends and not make a few enemies before Facebook announced they had 500 million users, active users.
I wonder if this is going to be like William Randolph Hearst trying to buy all the prints of Citizen Kane when this comes out. You know, will Zuck kind of go out and try to shut this film down before it's distributed into the theaters? And who's his head of Hopper? Who's his person that's going to ruin the lives of Aaron Sorkin and Mike Nichols and whoever else is involved in this thing before it even sees the light of day?
Well, I'll just have to say I have no interest in really seeing that movie because I hate Facebook already. But the topic of tonight is a new online music service, and I just happen to have two awesome music aficionados with me.
Yeah, speaking of hatred, I think there's a lot of that going around in this space right now, obviously with the continued mourning of our beloved Lala.com, and nothing yet put in its place to replace it. So I think we're all out there kind of searching for what that next big streaming thing is going to be. And we've got a couple of things that are out there in the space right now, and are they any good? Are they worth our time? Are they worth our $10 a month, et cetera, et cetera? I think that's what we're trying to figure out, where that's going to go next.
Well, they seem to – it's like Lala shut down, and there was kind of a lull. And then suddenly everybody kind of started popping out of the woodwork. I mean, you've got – so just launched like a week or so ago, RDIO.com. And then you've got Mog.com, and you have the old standby of Rhapsody, which really never went away. And then there's like a few others that use a little bit different model, but really RDO kind of made a splash rather quickly because everybody I knew was thinking it might be the next Lala. Hence the title of today's show, is RDO the next Lala? And I've used it. Steve, you've used RDO.com, correct?
Yep.
And Lucas, of course, you have. So we're going to kind of just... I don't know. First impressions, Steve. First impression.
It's okay. I think they were able to get a lot of publicity just because it was the guys that make Skype.
Which we're using right now.
Kind of company coming out of nowhere. And they knew how to plug the product and how to get the press out to all the tech sites and on social networks and all that. So it got some hype just because it was made by the Skype people.
At the same time, it looks like Lala.
Lucas?
They're trying to keep the networking thing going. It has a very similar interface in a lot of ways to that. Really, the only thing that's changed is their model with the pricing, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So, well, Lucas, what's your impression?
I was going to say that they not only got the tech blog, hype machine rolling, they got some traditional media love as well, because my first exposure to it was a New York Times piece.
Really?
So I had no idea that what this thing was, and all of a sudden it was a Saturday piece in the New York Times, and I'm like, okay, well, here comes the next attempt to try to figure out what this space is going to look like. But we just don't know. We now got two competitors that have an iPhone app and an Android app, and are trying to figure out the mobile versions of this, but it's no better, no worse than what we had a month ago.
I find it fascinating that they all have a similar formula, but they all kind of implement it a little bit different, and it feels like the similarities is because the... To me, it's like the hidden hand of the labels, or what do you call it? What's that term they use for economics? the power of the hidden hand or whatever. What are they called, Lucas? Come on, you know this stuff.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, anyways, throw that away. Start over again. It just seems like there's something behind all these that it feels like it's a heavily influenced that the labels still are like, no, we're not going to let you do that. And with La La, it seems like, wow, how did the labels let them get away with paying 10 cents a song to stream it? That's kind of my first feeling. It's polished. It's a super polished system. But it's missing something. It doesn't have, I don't know. You know what? I'm rambling, but does that make sense?
You're talking about RDO being polished? See,
it's very polished.
I disagree. There were a couple of things on it that I really liked. On the web client, when you would come back to it, it would go to the exact spot that you went away from it in the middle of your song queue. You didn't have to start it over. Granted, it auto started, which is always a fun thing to have happen. I think most of us pretty much loathe having audio pretty much hijack our browsers when we go to a page. But mm-hmm. the way they did it was smart in that it went right back to that exact same space in your queue, even mid song. But I didn't find the web interface particularly compelling. The iPhone app was a little bit clunky. Granted, they've been waiting for the update in the iTunes store, which is going to continually be the bane of any developer's existence that needs to move and update applications quickly. But there were a lot of song clips, and there were they had different. If you'd go to a certain artist, say a lot of us were kind of. Listening to a lot of Patty Griffin over the past couple of weeks because of her recent show at the Ryman. When you go and look at her artist page, they had duplication of two of her records in there. One was song clips only. The other was mostly full tracks, but some song clips on there. There just wasn't any consistency in what the offerings were from there. And granted, it's a new service, and they're still in a private beta, and they're trying to figure out what that looks like. But I felt like La La was so much further along as far as what their web-based offering were. Obviously, we didn't get to see an iPhone app because Apple never let it get out there, except for our friend the professor Paul Shatskin, who was incredibly well-versed in what a La La iPhone app looked like.
Steve, did you kind of get the same interpretation that Lucas described?
Yeah, I'm cutting it some slack just because it's new. I don't think the interface is that bad. What I miss is the collection screen. It sort of looks like, iTunes or Media Player, any kind of library thing. It basically set it up like an online, or at least La La did. It set it up, very, very simple, artist column and then the songs and everything. And I kind of miss that just because it was convenient. I feel like I'm shuffling around more to find what I'm looking for on this one. The clips are a little annoying. What I can't figure out, the same with Lucas, is how La La had these catalogs and why the catalog on radio is similar, but there's certain things missing, and I'm not sure how these licensing deals are working or if it's just they don't have all the music uploaded yet because it's still in beta. Really, I miss the ability to upload songs, though.
I think that's where they got it, though.
Have my playlist and have the stuff that's up there. I can still get the whole Springsteen catalog and then with the Broken Bells thing, but, it'd be nice if I could just go from that to listening to the Beatles when I want to. And the only way to do that is to upload it yourself, which was what was great about La La.
Did they have the Beatles on there? Did anybody notice?
No Beatles, no Zeppelin, and no Pink Floyd, which if, you're a guy like me that listens to old people music all the time, it's a little frustrating, and those things will probably never. Led Zeppelin will probably never be on a streaming media site.
Well, let me talk about what I mean by slick, Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Is I think I'm coming from the designer point of view that the design of the website is very slick. It the way it worked without really making you feel like the page is reloading. Or the way the player works with a desktop app, so you can keep adding stuff and then close the browser and it keeps playing. Did you get a chance to try the Adobe Air app that companion with it?
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah, it was pretty slick. So as long as you kept adding music to it, it kept playing. The frustration of not being able to find the library that you like was difficult to deal with. With Lala, I think, is because everybody uploaded their music. If they didn't have those songs, they let you upload it, and I think they used those for other people. Because I got versions of songs on mine that said, you know, I'm going to admit it, Eminem. But when I listened to it back from Lala, it was a edited version.
Mm.
And I'm like, I do not have edited versions because my mom doesn't buy them for me.
Yeah, but, the matching thing was kind of a new technology, but it meant well. It was something. I mean, this whole thing of kind of, you know, music in the cloud, it's still so new that we can cut it some slack, but their interface was, I thought that the Lala library screen was a kind of a good bridge between what people are used to with their home media libraries and the future of the online thing in the cloud. There's really nothing on the radio site that's equal to that. You can kind of constantly go on and play a bunch of stuff and keep your queue going, but there's a lot of features that I think they could implement that aren't there yet.
Lucas.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. That was the primary strength of Lala, because it looked like it was the best browser representation of what we're all still used to as far as a music player goes, be it iTunes, be it Windows Media Player, be it Winamp, going back that far, you know, whatever your music player of choice was, it was the closest thing to replicating that within a browser experience. And
right. And
RDIO, whatever you want to call it, isn't there yet.
Do you see it getting to the way that you would like it? Or do you think that this interface is just not going to work?
Well, that was the other part of it. They so graciously offered us a 3-day free trial, and then we can extend our free trial another 10 days if we want to turn over a credit card number. Now you get into a business practice situation where people are going to be incredibly uncomfortable with that, just being afraid of being auto-charged if they forget to cancel that trial before it's all said and done. You know, if you're going to want to woo customers in to a long-term relationship, then give them a week, give them 2 weeks without any sort of financial commitment. And a credit card number is a de facto financial commitment, and they're not doing it.
What do you think about the pricing, though? So let's get into that real quick. Right now, they have two levels of subscription: $9.95 a month, which is unlimited web, unlimited mobile, and it'll supposedly sync to your mobile phone, which I don't understand, because if it's in the clouds, it doesn't need to sync. And then you have web only, which is $4.99 a month, which is unlimited only from the website. But they say unlimited access, all music on radio from RDO from the web. Well, I have a web browser on my phone. Isn't that the web?
Well, the syncing thing is important, I think, because there are going to be moments where you don't have as quick a connection as you would like to be able to get a streaming experience that you would like. I mean, I'm still working on first gen iPhone hardware, Edge Network. And it is not quick enough to keep up with the streaming and then the buffering of the next song, et cetera, et cetera. So the syncing thing works well with RDO. It also works well with Rhapsody. You know, you get on a Wi-Fi connection and it basically downloads data to your phone. It doesn't treat it as musical tracks. It just treats it as data, so it doesn't drop into your iPod playlist. On an iPhone or whatever the equivalent is on an Android phone. So it's there on demand, which is great. But, you know, I think those are the price levels, at least the $9.99 thing. Both RDO and Rhapsody have that for unlimited streaming and however much you want to move on and off of your phone. And I think that's probably going to be the price point that that we're going to have to come to expect, even if, you know, Apple does finally get off their collective whatever and and roll Lala's replacement out. I think that's going to be the number. $10 a month.
Steve, do you envision yourself paying for a service like this? Being a music lover, you are.
Yeah, I mean, if they could add the ability to upload, and I could have, you know, the stuff that will never be contracted, which is, you know, the Beatles and my Springsteen bootlegs, and, you know, your friend's band, or your, you know, that the kind of stuff that they're just not going to have. You know, I think that's the one thing that I would be missing, you know, as a collector of weird stuff. You know, the ability to access that from anywhere. I mean, $10 a month. If I'm waiting for the Android app to come out, and once that comes out, if it works, I mean, I don't see why that would be that bad. What I worry about is what I've always said, is they're doing this now when they should have been doing this, you know, years and years ago. I think it's going to be a weird, I don't know if it's going to catch on. I think Rhapsody would have caught on more if people were into the idea, you know, of a subscription thing. I think maybe with mobile apps and everybody having smartphones, I'm hoping that'll catch on more now than it would have when did Rhapsody start? We just like,
before that, like probably 01. I mean, whenever Real Networks was kind of at the top of the heap still with Real Player, they started rolling out Rhapsody. It's just, it's been slow going for them to try to develop a strong enough service and get the licensing in place and get the device idea in place. I mean, the Rhapsody to Go service has been available on a multitude of mobile, meaning, you know, digital audio players, not necessarily phones, on a huge range of devices for about half a decade. But because iPod was, you know, 90% of that market, it never caught on. So. Right. I used to be a Rhapsody subscriber, even having iPod and, you know, not being able to take advantage of that, of the full-blown $15 a month subscription. But I used it when I, you know, from a music journalist standpoint, in that I could get to anybody's catalog I needed to write about with a couple of clicks and listen through to, listen through to catalog stuff, and they were great about having new releases day of. So they were my go-to. They were my go-to music service until Lala came along, where I could play once for free, get the majority of what I needed to get done, and, you know, squirrel it away as a web track later, or buy, you know, pretty decent 320K. MP3s and actually have the physical files. So until we can get something that has as much, you know, dedication to that idea of be on top of the new releases, allow us to have our libraries in an easily accessible form. Cause I'm the same way. I got a ton of bootlegs that I threw up on Lala, and I loved being able to sit in a coffee shop with a Wi-Fi connection and listen to stuff that I didn't have with me in that moment. Until somebody figures out how to make that happen as well, then it's not a full enough service music site for me to think about spending $10 a month on.
What about alternatives? For example, the ever elusive Spotify. Do you think that's, I know.
That's I still maintain it's not going to happen in the United States.
Ever?
Nope.
Why do you say that?
The labels in the U.S., until Apple says that they are categorically not ever going to do a subscription service, they won't back a Spotify in the U.S.
Okay.
I mean, unless you throw...
But they have iTunes and stuff in Europe, and they still... I mean, they license the same stuff over there. I'm not sure why the American labels are so different than in England and Germany and France, those other places that it's launched.
I don't either, but they are, and they're because they know that they have a, you know, they have a different relationship with Apple, and they're gonna back the horse that can make them the most money. And right now, Spotify is not making anybody any money except for their advertisers, and their and labels are not going to spend money to advertise on those things.
What is the model of Spotify again? It's been this, like, was it white unicorn that I've heard of, but I've never seen.
It's free with premium subscription plans. The mobile app, I think, is 10 to 12 pounds, euros, whatever. It's about 10 to 15 bucks a month for the mobile app, and I think that's just, you get, they take out the ads, and the sound quality is better and something like that, but there is an unlimited free version with ad supported. The thing with Spotify, the reason it took off over there is it's the simplest, most intuitive application I've ever used in my life. It looks like iTunes, except less cluttered and less bloated. It's fast. It's got the little search bubble at the top. You type in whatever you want, and it comes up, and you just tell it to play, and it goes. I mean, there's no complicated anything on it. It's really simple, and I think that's why it took off so quickly in Europe. Groove. I've picked around with Groove Shark and Radio and even Lala stuff in there. They're cool, but they're not as simple. And simple, you know, you guys are Apple geeks. You know, the stuff that, you know, your parents can figure out is what ends up winning a lot of times.
What about Mog.com?
I haven't really spent enough time on that to really know what they're doing. They just launched too, didn't they?
Yeah, not too long ago. I did their free trial as well, and you know, it just didn't light up the world for me.
Now, and this is the thing that, or I mean, Paul Shatskin, the professor, is using Mog, I believe. Hmm. I think he's pretty much given up, and until iTunes.com, which is pretty much Lawa.com rebranded, I don't think. Hello, I think we just lost Steve.
I have no idea what just happened.
I think you lost your bandwidth.
Yeah, no, my phone just randomly decided to restart. I don't know why.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that an Android?
Yeah, you're liking that, aren't you?
Yeah. Okay, well, let's try to get back to... Where were we before we were talking Spotify? iTunes.com, right? I was talking to the professor.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about Mog.
Mog, yes. All right, it's going to be loud. Let me clap so I can get this.
Just do a 3-2-1.
Yeah, clap, but I hear fine. It in the signal. All right, we're back. Sorry for the delay. Or we all cut that out. So we were talking about Mog, and really what I had mentioned is that until iTunes.com comes out, I think the professor, a.k.a. Paul Shatskin, is not going to be happy with anything. What is the... Does either of you know the formula of Mog?
Nope.
I'm not sure. I've pulled it up, and I think I have an account, and I haven't actually had a chance to really mess with it yet. I know there's another 3-day trial, which I think both me and Lucas agree is kind of... I imagine since they both have the 3-day trial, I wonder if the 3-day thing is like a licensing... licensing arrangement.
It could be.
I imagine if they could, they would do a longer trial, but that's just my theory.
Well,
yeah, it's just not long enough to adopt it into your workflow of, you know, what you do or what your expectations are for a site like this. You've got to give it a little time to breathe.
Yeah, I made the mistake of setting it up on a Friday afternoon. And then dinking with it a little bit on the weekend, but I wasn't in front of the computer all day. And what I used of it, it still felt, like I said, the design is slick, but it still felt like it's missing. It does feel like they're not there yet.
See, and this is...
Go ahead.
Yet another piece in my ongoing frustration with... technology in the music industry. You know, you used to be able to just pop in a CD or pop in a cassette. And it was pretty much the same experience for everybody. But now you've got to figure out how to use your technology to be able to listen to your music. So no wonder music is kind of falling away as a societal force, because there's a constant learning curve with this stuff to try to get to something simple. You know, we have this great and grand idea of being able to have our library with us at all times, and more of us are able to do that with 120 gig iPods, or in Steve's case, a 250 gig iPod. but you know, the more and more we're going to rely on the cloud, the more and more we're going to be dependent upon, do I have a good signal in this part of town? Do I have Wi-Fi versus a 3G signal? Is my subscription paid up? And it's just going to be more and more barriers put in front of music fandom. And that just drives me crazy.
Well, I think.
So I guess my question then is when Apple comes out with their, assuming they do come out with one, and then there's the rumors that Google are working on one too, you know, is it going to be good or bad for people and for music if one of them just dominates the way that iTunes did for years? You know, if we pretty much just end up with one thing that everybody uses, is that going to be good or bad?
I don't think we're going to end up with one thing that everybody uses, because there won't be there won't be one standard. There never has been in the digital audio space. I mean, obviously, if you go back 10 years, and from an audio file standpoint, anybody remember Ogg Vorbis?
It's still out there.
Yeah, it's still out there, but nobody uses it.
Well, I still use it.
Yeah, the audio fillies Ogg Vorbis do.
And FLAC. You know, those things that are still out there that, you know, will never take off in the traditional or the mainstream music user's mind. So again, it's this dichotomy of too many voices or too many options are not an option, but only one doesn't help either.
Well, so, to answer that question about the domination, technically, it's going to be the person that brings it to the masses as simple and as easy as possible. That's plain and simple. The person that can navigate, or the corporation that can navigate the, really, it's the labels and the publishers that create the complexity. It's people, if you can see, there's been carcasses of websites for the last decade of trying to do this. And it really took Apple to get to a point to say, okay, we'll do it. We'll put your DRM on. And then when everybody decided, like, DRM still sucks, then they went to an easier method. It's kind of like with podcasting. Podcasting was cool. Everybody was thinking about it, but nobody figured out an easy way to do it until Apple said, you know what, we're just going to add it to iTunes. You click here to subscribe. We've got a library, and you're done. It's just, whoever makes it the easiest is going to win. And I don't think it's necessarily bad. I just wish it would be like the CD, where it's a standard everybody agrees upon that anybody can plug into. Hello?
Yeah, I agree.
The
question is whether that's going to be Google or Apple. I think eventually one of the two of them, I think they're both going to launch services, and one of them, maybe they both might get pretty decent traction. I think if they both launch in the fall, seems possible, I mean, Sites Radio and Mog, I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to compete, because both Apple and Google will be able to integrate it with everything they've already set up, and it's going to, you know, be a little bit more like Big Brother, no matter whose side you're on.
Well, the interesting thing is that Apple and Google are going to come from it from completely two opposite angles. Google makes money. The more open it is, the more people that use it, the more money they can make, and that's going to be the angle they come from. Apple way is the closed ecosystem that just works, but they are in control, and there is no misperceptions that you are going to jailbreak their iTunes.com like you do your phone, Lucas. What is that?
It's
Hello.
My phone.
Oh, okay. But Yeah, but it's going to be two complete different directions they're going to come from. Like, Simplify Media, I loved that because I could plug it on my Mac, and then I had an iPhone app that I could stream all my Mac music from home on my iPhone. Then they stopped serving. They stopped the website and said, we're changing our formula. And then it turned out Google bought them, and now it's part of the Android operate. It's part that's going to come with Android. And so they took the best.
They got bought out, didn't they?
What?
They got bought out, didn't they?
Well, they got bought out, but they made everybody sound like we're going to go in a different direction, which is we got bought out and now we're part of Google. It's
right.
Like, hello there. We're part of Google now. But if, yeah, once that comes out for Android, it's going to be kick ass because then you don't need the cloud services. You have your jukebox at home on your computer. You put a little app running, Simplify Media, you run it on your Android, and you have your entire music library anyway. So why would we even need these online services? Am I making sense? While we're talking about Apple, I think we've kind of exhausted this topic. What do you guys think?
We certainly don't have any answers to it yet. I mean, you know, it's these things are out there. A lot of them have been out there for a while, and in Rhapsody's case, and Mog, a little bit under a year. You know, I everybody's waiting for the big Cupertino shoe to drop. You know, it's like the tablet space. There were those endless number of a seemingly endless number of manufacturers that had all these things ready and were working or were at least in prototype stage for CES, and the iPad comes out and almost all of them have just shut it down because they know that there's no way they're going to be able to beat the marketing and design and third party developer platform that already exists for the iPad. So it's just going to be, again, this waiting game to see what Steve and company do. Not this Steve, the other Steve.
Steve, what are you going to do? But it. Speaking of Apple.
Yeah, I feel about the radio thing. I think they're trying to launch quickly, and I feel a little underdeveloped. I think they're trying to get out and maybe get a little bit of market share before that happens. It was definitely a little rushed when I was using it last week.
But don't you think the minute that iTunes.com comes out and it's almost it? Let's say okay, if iTunes.com comes out and it's 90% of what La La was. Would you go back?
Yeah, I would be surprised if they gave you the same freedom to upload your own stuff and the matching and all that. I would be surprised if that happened. But I hope it does happen.
And while that was the most unique part of what La La did, I don't think it's the most important part for the success of a potential iTunes cloud service. I think that, and I wrote about this on largelandmammal.com, that play once for free. As far as the idea of music discovery for people rather than just having access to stuff you already have, I think that's probably the most important piece for a continued editorial, whatever you want to call it, discovery opportunity for people to make purchases. And that's going to
never let that happen without a price wall.
I don't know. The thing with La La was they continued to throw, even after they announced a month out that they were shutting down the service on May 31. Yet they continued to do, even to the last week of its existence, they continued to put up new releases. Why would they bother to do that if they knew that the technology or the project completely was just going to get thrown on a shelf?
What about
the
database?
That tells me that there's still, you know, there's still some life in that idea somewhere on the West Coast, and hopefully, you know, the server farm on this coast. Maybe they are just ramping up to get ready for the 3 million iPads that have been sold now and the 600,000 iPhone 4s that were sold in the first day. There is that bandwidth opportunity, and there's that storage opportunity for this media consumption model that they are uniquely poised to serve well.
Agreed.
That's true. Although I'm going to be pissed because I'm sure they won't allow a non-iPhone application to access the online iTunes thing. But, you know.
I disagree. I mean, you know, they learned their lesson. It took them a little while with iPod. I mean, I was just thinking back to those first generations of those things that synced up via FireWire only. And it took them a while to move to USB only and to get a working Windows version of iTunes. I think they'll see that it's, you know, it's worth their while to not only have it be a good experience on their mobile platforms, but also certainly a web-based version of that. And potentially, and boy, wouldn't that just drive the Google folks crazy, to do a really good iTunes app for the Android.
Okay, let's do final words about RDIO. First impressions, 10 seconds, go, Lucas.
Positive yet doomed.
Steve.
It had a lot of potential that's not quite realized yet.
And I am going to pretty much do the same thing. It looks beautiful. It's just not there yet. So that is Lala. Or not Lala. Oh, I miss Lala.
That was Lala.
We should name the show like We Miss Lala. Next week, we'll have to try to get the professor on with his comments and see what his adventures in Apple land. Because if you were following Driver 49 on Twitter, you would be getting amazingly frustrating updates from him that was, I'd have to say, humorous at some aspect. Because have you seen the oatmeal or whatever ad about being an Apple lover or Apple product person?
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome because we just get abused and abused and we keep giving money to them and we keep waiting in line and we just keep coming back.
Well, and the funny thing is that there's this afternoon there have been reports filtering out of people getting their iPhone 4s early, which mm-hmm. is staggering. But yeah, there are some of the new device, you know, out in the wild officially, as opposed to left in a bar in Northern California. So yeah, we'll see. We'll get the professor in to talk about his new device experience when he finally gets his hands on it, or gets his hand around the neck of some poor, unfortunate Apple Store employee.
One of the things that I heard is that because there's 600,000 pre-orders, that they're actually letting them deliver them early, so that it could alleviate some of the activation.
Sure.
Because what they said, it's like 6 times or 10 times as many iPhones
as the 3G. Mm-hmm. Well, if you remember, you know, they released the 3G, and then the iPhone 2.0, the OS update on the same day for all platforms. So you had iPhones, iPhone 3Gs, and iPod Touches, and all these people that were trying to download the software or activate. And you know it was insanity, and now it's just that much worse. So I mean, at least they threw the iPhone 4 OS out there a few days ago, and it seems to at least access to it seems to be a little easier to do now. I'm hearing both good and bad reports from people, you know, updating their existing hardware. I don't know. We'll see. I obviously can't do it with my first generation unlocked hardware, so I'm not going to worry about it. But I will be interested to see others, both with the older devices and the new whatever that Retina display and the front facing camera, and I don't know. Who are you planning on making your first FaceTime call to, Dave, when you finally break down and get the iPhone 4?
Well, I was going to ask off for Thursday, and be one of the people waiting in line. I was actually going to go down there and see if I could just do another podcast recording and go down there with, I have an old Sprint PCS phone from like 1996.
Nice.
See if anybody wants to trade like I did with the Apple Newton last time. But it was kind of fun. I enjoyed that. But this time I actually might be waiting in line, or I might just, I'm trying to scrape the money together because I can't justify it, because just 2 days ago is when my 3GS had its 1 year anniversary.
Oh, yay.
So, and I did a nice thing for it, and I upgraded the OS, and
what do you think of iOS 4?
It's slick. The with the folder functionality where you can dump your icons in folders, I went from 7 screens to 4.
I have a friend who went from 9 screens to 1.
That's overachieving.
But she's a little OCD that way. So that was probably, she'd been waiting for that for several years, I would imagine.
The multitasking is half-baked because the apps have to plug into the API.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things work and some doesn't. Like, for example, iHeartRadio from Clear Channel, which I love because I can listen to my liberal talk anywhere because we don't have it here in Nashville, doesn't work. It actually goes through the functionality, but the minute it goes... it flips over like the stack of cards or whatever. It turns off.
What about Pandora? I mean, that seems to be the app for which a lot of that multitasking was created.
The sad thing is I don't use Pandora.
Huh?
No, I used to use it, and I thumbed up and thumbs down so much that it started playing the same crap over and over again for me.
Yeah.
So, but the other interesting thing is. You can, when you double click the button in the front of it, it pops up the thing of all the running apps in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's got a screen lock, just like the iPad. So you can do the screen rotation so you don't have to worry about it. So
interesting.
Overall, the experience, it feels just as snappy as before. There's a lot of little tweaks like the unified inbox. So I would recommend if you're a 3GS iPhone user, go ahead and do the upgrade if you haven't done it already, because it's well worthwhile. And the second note, if anybody wants to buy a 1 year, 2 day old iPod or iPad, iPhone 3GS, I have it for sale.
Wait, I was going to say, you're selling your iPad for $299?
No.
Sign me up. I'll take it.
No. Steve, on your Android, did you get upgraded to Froyo yet? 2.2?
Which is a 2.1.
I thought it was 2.2 Froyo.
I stopped at donut. That made me hungry. So after that, I kind of stopped paying attention to names. I got the last one. I upgraded a couple weeks ago, I think.
What do you have?
I haven't had any problems with it, other than it decided to shut off in the middle of our podcast. But
through the magic of it,
I'm one of those people now. I have all this stuff, and I don't ever make phone calls. And I think the phone was just confused that I was talking for more than, a minute and a half.
See, that's the thing, is we need rollover data minutes. Get rid of the talking minutes. I want more data. But coming back...
Yeah, I mean, it's funny with the multitasking thing. I mean, I kind of got over Pandora. I use Slack or Radio a lot on my phone when I'm driving. Or, I've been using Last.fm for like 5 years, and I've got this huge library radio thing on Last.fm that plays, 40,000 tracks or something that it picks from randomly. I use that a lot on my phone, just kind of in the background. That works great. Slacker Radio is really cool. I don't think it's really taken off the way it should, but I actually think it's a lot better than Pandora as far as styles and song selection and stuff.
Now, do you feel the urge to upgrade with every new Droid phone that comes out, like every 10 minutes? Oh, whoop, there's another one. Yes?
I'm sorry,
no.
I feel the what?
The urge to upgrade. Like, I was very, very tempted by the HTC Evo because it's got a 4-inch screen and it's got like an 8-megapixel camera and it's got a kickstand.
You and your kickstands.
The kickstand might be pretty awesome, I'm not going to lie. not really. I mean, I just got this thing about 4 or 5 months ago. I haven't really been that much new. I figure, you know, another year there'll be some huge, you know, huge debate. Either that or Apple will open up to, you know, somebody who's not AT&T, one or the other. But I feel like so much you can do at this point. Really all that matters is the networks being faster. I mean, I'm pretty happy with Verizon, but it'd still be nice if we could go to, you know, Europe mobile speeds, which won't ever happen. But
we need Japanese.
What?
We need Japanese mobile data speeds.
Oh, don't they get like 50 megabit?
Something like that, yeah. 137 up and, you know, unlimited down. It's infinity down. Just kidding.
Yeah, and I mean, really, I can stream all my radio on my phone. I can do a bunch of stuff. And the best part is I can get a Nintendo emulator on my phone so I can play Mario Kart while I'm waiting for things.
Lucas, can't you get that for your cracked iPhone?
I probably could if I, you know, was any good at Mario Kart when it was first out. Mm. You know, I skipped from the Atari 2600, actually the Atari video computer system. That's how far I went back and didn't have a video game system until the Dreamcast.
Oh, you're a Dreamcast user?
I went Dreamcast, yes. So
hell yeah.
I busted out the Super Mario Brothers 2 on the Wii yesterday, and I'm talking about the Japanese import that they thought it was too hard for the American audience, so they never released it officially. And we need to have a Mario Brothers 2 party because I used to be able to go through 8 levels, like 3 times of Super Mario Brothers without dying. I can't get past World 1.4 on this. Seriously, we need to come over and have a Super Mario Brothers 2 party.
Yeah, we just went. Oh,
I know what you're talking about. It's the one that has like the bad mushrooms that kill you.
Yes.
Yeah, like, I remember that.
Yeah, it never came out in the States because they.
Yeah, the game was hard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is we need to come over here and do that crap.
We went into such a ridiculous, geeky rat hole right there. That's just unbelievable.
Sorry, audience.
That's probably
the
geekiest rat hole we've ever gone down.
Oh, I can beat that.
I know you can beat that, but I mean, we're gonna turn off our fan if we
our fan, our one audience.
If we keep going that direction.
Yes, in fact, our one fan. If you'd like to call up again, you can call. Oh crap! What's the number?
Where was the number? I found the number. What was it?
Here it is. 615-280-0505. Leave a voicemail and tell us what Super Mario Brothers 2 game you like. I think
I just wanted an excuse to play the sound effect again.
That yes. Number once again,
615-280-0505.
Well, speaking of that, you know, it's a nice little segue there. What do you think about the idea that Google Voice has now been opened up to everyone? Did you see that today?
I think it's grand. I tweeted that today, Twitter /mdave. Yes, I tweeted. I think it's actually a great service. I think you're no longer going to get a customized phone number like the people that got it when they signed up, because they had a million users before they opened it up. And when I signed up, is like I was like begging for a voice number, and I couldn't get any custom numbers. Like I think somebody in town here got like something awesome. Yes, and if she could call and tell us what she got, that would be awesome. But why don't we wrap it up here with our what we're consuming segment, because we're just going on another rat hole after another, and I think it would be awesome to tell people what we're consuming besides Super Mario Brothers 2. So, Lucas, why don't you go first? What are you consuming lately?
Well, speaking of rat holes, have gotten drawn into two completely disparate things that I wouldn't have thought that I would find so time-suckingly interesting. First being Godfinger for the iPhone. it's another NGMOCO. I don't know how you pronounce it. NGMOCO. It's a Farmville on steroids kind of thing, and I hate Farmville. I hate Mafia Wars, but for whatever reason, this thing is just has captured my attention, at least for this afternoon. They just released the iPhone app. I put it on and played with it for probably 2 hours while also doing the work that I needed to do. So it could turn into my summertime Plants versus Zombies addiction, or I may get frustrated with it before the night's out and take it off. I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but it's an interesting little app. Apparently much more immersive and snappy experience on the iPad, but for the iPhone, you know, basically you get to, you know, create a planet, terraform, make it rain, make the sun shine, and force people to do light farming. It's much more complicated than that, but that's only as far as I've gotten today. So there's that, and then there's the time honored and probably best left for many other discussions. The Lefsetz letter. Bob Lefsetz, a longtime music industry observer, pundit, et cetera, et cetera. The people that I talk to and can interact with frequently, quoting from his email and blogged newsletter. So I finally broke down and subscribed to it a couple weeks ago, and you think the vuvuzela on the World Cup broadcast is omnipresent. I don't think Lefsetz sleeps. He's continually thinking and writing and bloviating, and I'll be the first person to say it. I frequently find him wrong in a lot of his statements, but he's at least I don't want to say consistent. He's omnipresent. He's constantly throwing stuff out about the ills and et cetera of the current state of the music industry. Much like everybody else, not really other than just go and do it, throwing any solutions out there, which is what I also find frustrating about it. But I've at least been attempting to keep up with his
He's been doing it for quite a while, hasn't he?
Stream of opinion, and pretty much failing.
I'm surprised it took you that long to get on his mailing list. That's surprising.
I knew it would be like this. He's almost like the New Yorker. It just stacks up, and you never truly get around to it. But you know what you're going to get once you finally wade into the pile.
That's a fair comparison. I have issues with some of the stuff he says too, but at least he's really passionate about it.
It's true.
Yeah, I think he would have more answers, except he knows sometimes he could throw stuff out there, and he does sometimes, and he knows it's never going to happen. Yeah. Just like, you know, we think Spotify is never going to launch here. That's just too logical. It would be too much of a leap for people stuck in the 80s and 90s to do.
Yeah.
And he knows that. But he's an interesting read. The stuff that he likes, he really, really likes. So there's a few people I've discovered reading his letter that I probably wouldn't have heard of otherwise.
Yeah. But, I mean, even in the short time I've been reading him with some regularity, I really don't need to be evangelized to anymore about the Hold Steady and the National. I knew a ton about them before reading, but he, you know, any sort of point that he wants to make about people he thinks are doing it right is inevitably going to involve the Hold Steady and the National, and that's great. But find some other examples, Bob. Please.
Yeah, that's terrible.
All right. So what else is that? That's the two things you're consuming,
that's
Lucas.
Me.
That's I'm you. Done. All right, Steve. What are you consuming besides beverages? Because you said that in the
pre. My friend gave me a copy of David Sedaris' Naked, which I'd never read, and I'm almost done with that.
How was it?
Which I can sort of half relate to growing up in like a Greek family, but also not half relate to because I'm neither funny nor gay. But it's still a really good book. I'm on season 2 of Torchwood, and still not really sure how I feel about it, but there's a really cute Welsh chick in it, so, you know.
You heard about Torchwood, right? They got picked up
by
what network did they get picked up by? They're not on BBC, the new season. It's going to be on I don't remember.
Sci-Fi or something?
What?
Oh, yeah, dude, we can talk about Doctor Who. That's almost done. I don't know if you're keeping up with it. Danny's letting me keep up with that.
Are we going down another rat hole, Lucas?
I have nothing to add to this one.
I love Doctor Who.
Little David Sedaris, new season of Doctor Who, the new Gold Rap record is great. Paul McCartney is playing Nashville, so we're a real city now.
25th in the country, from what I understand.
We can get a Beatle, so that's maybe better.
Well, right now, I mean, it literally, as we record this, is a celebration of what we'd think would be all things Nashville, but are pretty much just all things country and conservative in Nashville at the arena, the Nashville Rising show that's going on right now. I'm reading some of TuneIn Music City's tweets about it, and I'm wondering if a tea party is going to break out afterwards, but that's another story for another time, I guess.
Awesome.
Surprised you didn't try to scram some free tickets to that, Lucas.
You know what? I did my time with that.
The CMA Music Festival.
around
I figured you were at CMA for a whole week and you just didn't get enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got plenty. That was good. I'm just waiting for the check to clear.
That's one of the reasons why we didn't have a show, because we couldn't make a show without making fun of the festival, and I didn't want to jeopardize Lucas's lucrative writing deal.
Well, it wasn't like CMA had hired me. It was USA Today, and it was a weekend. Thank God for Swiftwick socks and linen. That's all I got to say, because it was ungodly hot down there.
Mm-hmm. Very, very hot now.
No doubt. Dave, what are you consuming?
What am I consuming? Right now, Big K root beer.
Nice. Going with the Kroger brand. Excellent.
Oh, yeah. It's $2.99. What am I consuming? I am consuming an audiobook called The Big Little Things by Tom Peters. It's a book on pretty much self-help, business, kind of just entrepreneurship, a little bit of everything. It's a difficult read or listen because it was written as a blog, and I'm not a fan of books that are written as blogs or that were blogged, because it just feels too choppy. And I can't write, so it's probably bad of me to criticize people that have written books, but I have my opinion. And then the next thing I am consuming is We Rule for the iPad, which is by the same company that did Godfinger, which, Lucas, after the show's over, I need your username so I can add you, because then I can finally get past another level. So that's all I'm consuming, and that's all the time we got tonight, guys.
They have just... I'm seeing also on various Twitter feeds the product that needs to sponsor our show, or at least sponsor Steve's appearances on it. It's Biggs sunflower seeds. These are bacon flavored sunflower seeds.
Oh, I think we have a show title.
Sizzling bacon.
I'm telling you, there's nothing that you cannot infuse with bacon. You can try, and you'll never find it.
I just want bacon flavored bacon.
Apparently, sunflower seeds. Coffee flavored coffee.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up, Lucas. Where can we find you online?
Oh, various places. Tune in, Lucas, on the Twitters, largelandmammal.com, on the blogs, and the occasional piece of pulped ink and pulped wood and ink.
So what's your screen name on Godfinger?
More of that sooner than later.
What about Godfinger? How can we find you on Godfinger?
Godfinger, I'm actually Drifter1TN. So
what?
If anybody wants to befriend me on any of the plus platforms, and then you can find me there. Drifter1TN in the game space.
Very good, very good. Steve, thanks again for joining us tonight. Where can we find you online if you'd like to share that?
Find me on the Twitters, WalrusOCT9. If you're a mm-hmm. Beatles fan, that'll make sense. If you're not, then probably shouldn't talk. No, I'm just kidding.
You got a blog too, don't you?
OCT9. I'm in the process of moving my blog, so we'll see where that ends up. I also should probably write in it because I haven't written it in about 6 months. But yeah, I'm on the Twitter most of the time. It gives me something to do at work that isn't working. And yeah, just find me there, and you've been warned.
What about in the real world? Upcoming musical.
Yeah, where are you playing?
And I am apparently also in print, some sort of print media when they decide to send photographers to our bar. That helps.
Yeah.
In the real world, I'm not sure what our next show is. We're playing in Chicago and Ohio and Detroit next month. I'm not sure when our next national thing is. I think it's going to be the end of July, but I'm not sure yet.
And this is
For the Ryan Michaels band.
There you go.
I am the lead guitar player with the awesome hair.
No comment.
They're like, hey, you're really good. You have great hair. I'm like, thanks.
And also famous on the Tennessean front page. Let me wrap it up real quick with, I'm David Baranja, and you can find me on Twitter as MDave. You can also find me when I decide to start blogging at the NashvilleTechFeed.com. We have some obligations, as always, Lucas, to, where is it here? I gotta pull up my pages. Oh, I also go by David Baranja on We Rule and Godfinger, so you can add me because I have no friends. We are part of the Tech Pod.
I just visited your planet this afternoon, Dave. I mean, come on. What are you?
Oh, was that you that did that?
Yeah.
Oh, I was wondering why I had all these gifts. But anyway, you can find us. We are on the Tech Podcasts Network at techpodcasts.com/Nashville Tech Feed. If you want to leave us a voicemail, all of one of our listeners, it's 615-280-0505. You can also
that number
leave
once again.
615-280-0505. And you can also send comments to comments@NashvilleFeed.com. And show notes and stuff that we talked about will be over there, including our new wiki. So thanks again, guys. And again, program note, we're going to go every 2 weeks or maybe once a month until the fall. So everybody have a good summer, and we'll see you in a week or two. Thanks again, guys.
See ya.
All right, we're done. Oh, Lucas, how do we end the show?
With some sort of weird noise.
Sounds good.
Neil, you wouldn't happen to know how to get on the highway from here, would you?
Dude, I don't even know where the fuck I am right now. I was at this party earlier tonight, and some guy hooked me up with this incredible ex, and next thing I know, I'm being thrown out of a moving car. I've been tripping balls ever since.